This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We've got a show full of Oscar nominees.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I say I'm an oil man, you will agree. Now, I've traveled across half our state to be here and to see about this land. I'm a family man. This is my son and my partner, H.W. Plainview. I have many wells flowing at many thousand barrels per day. I can guarantee to start drilling and to put up the cash to back my word.
That's Daniel Day-Lewis as an oil man during the early days of the oil industry in There Will Be Blood. It's nominated for 8 Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Director. Paul Thomas Anderson wrote and directed the film. He also made Boogie Nights, Magnolia, and Punch Drunk Love. There Will Be Blood is loosely based on the 1927 novel Oil by Upton Sinclair, and it's set in California in the early days of the oil industry. I spoke with Anderson in December. You had to learn so much to recreate the period, and you had to learn a lot about the early days of oil exploration. Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, like in the early part of the film, when the Daniel Day-Lewis character is first learning how to dig for oil, I mean, the technology is basically like a bucket on a pulley that he pulls up by hand, and then he deposits the oil in a big puddle by the well.
Yeah, that's it.
And then things kind of grow a little from there. Go ahead.
All that stuff just comes from the written descriptions of how Edward Doheny first found oil right near Dodger Stadium near downtown L.A., essentially using what they knew as silver miners, which is you dig a hole. And then they realized they were down about, 50, 60 feet, and that there was they were choking on the fumes. So they say, well, we can't be down here to get this stuff up out of here. How are we going to do it? And they built an A-frame, with a 50-foot eucalyptus tree that they shaved down and were just trying to drive it into the ground. I mean, these really primitive techniques. And the funny thing is, as much as it's changed, it's still kind of the same as it is today. It's just driving an enormous pole into the ground over and over and over again until, you poke the monster enough and it erupts.
There are some really horrifying accidents that happen during the course of the movie while people are digging for oil. Did you study up on what typical accidents were like in those early oil days?
Yeah, we read about a few. And then they're so graphic. I mean, there were a few written about in Upton Sinclair's book and then a few just from various other sources that we had. But then when we built the derrick and we got out there and we had this terrific guy named Jim Farmer, who's an old oil man who came out to help us out with some of the details of the drilling. And boy, once we met him, I mean, the stories just came fast and furious, I mean, to the point where you just had kind of had enough. You're like, I don't need to hear about one more accident, quite honestly, you were aware of the dangers every single second, particularly when you've got a film crew around, just everything was dangerous. The danger that something was going to fall, the danger that your fingers were going to get caught somewhere. I mean, it's horribly dangerous labor, and particularly out there where I think at the time these oil guys worked in 12-hour shifts. So for 12 hours they would work, and then they'd go to wherever the bar was and drink for 10 hours, sleep for 2 hours, probably stop at church on the way in, and then do it all over again. So not only is there the danger just in general, but you factor in booze and heat and all the rest, and it's amazing.
So is one of the accidents in the movie based on a story that you were told about a real accident or something that you read?
The bit falling was a character named Joe Gunda, who we meet very briefly. The bits fall, and he's down in a cellar, which is a place where they sort of collect the mud. That was from the Upton Sinclair book when I first read it. And then talking to some of our old-timers and oil guys, they would just tell us endless stories about bits falling, guys drowning in the mud. And maybe they'd get hit in the head by something that fell, and that wouldn't be what killed them. But, drowning in this mud would be the thing that got them. Not to mention the work that they were doing, high up. These derricks are 80 feet tall. So, from time to time, people would fall. And then, we're not even factoring in what happens when these things do come in. Ideally for them, they knew when they were coming in. They knew they'd sort of hit a certain sand that they were looking at and smelling and saying, okay, we're very close. And they could prepare however they did prepare for the gusher to come in. But those times when a gusher would come in, they didn't know it. I mean, you were in trouble. You were in a lot of trouble, particularly if it lit on fire, and anything could light it on fire. Just a rock shooting up out of the ground could be a spark that could catch a flame.
And that happens in the movie, and there's this huge fire that erupts after the gusher starts gushing. And I'm thinking about how challenging that scene must have been to create. First of all, I don't know if an oil fire burns differently than, say, a wood fire or any other fire, and if you had to make sure that you were creating an oil fire so that the fire would look authentic.
Yeah, well, black smoke is the key. You know, oil burns black, and we were using diesel fuel, and it burned pretty darn close to how real crude oil would burn. We augmented it a little bit with some digital effects, just helping to kind of darken it a little bit. But it sure felt like the real thing. And when we did it, and, you know, we had a special effects guy, a terrific guy named Steve Kremens, and whose job it was to get thousands of gallons of diesel fuel spouting up in the air and then to light it on fire. And he said to us, you know, I cannot guarantee that I can put this fire out. I can do it and I can turn it off. But once that derrick catches on fire, there's a chance I might not be able to put it out. We thought he was just playing it safe, you know, that would be. But the second we lit the match, it was clear there was no way we were going to be able to put it out because the wood was so dry. It was so much gasoline. And we were essentially forced to do that entire sequence within two takes in about 45 minutes before the derrick tumbled to the ground.
Yeah, and the fire is alive. I mean, so you're shooting something that has a life of its own.
Yeah. It doesn't take direction very well.
Right.
But that's what's fun about it, too. You know, it's great. I mean, we were so nervous leading up to lighting that fire because, first of all, we were in love with our derrick. You know, we're so proud of it. And we knew we were going to be completely melancholy when it was gone. Mixed in with that, we were all completely petrified at the prospect of screwing it up. I mean, what are you going to do? We're not going to build it again. That wasn't going to happen, you know. And obviously, we were pretty careful. We weren't going to do it if the wind was blowing too much. But to be really honest with you, it was kind of one of the benefits of shooting out in West Texas because they're a lot looser out there. You know, I don't think we could have done anything like that in California. They would have had a heart attack out there.
Paul Thomas Anderson wrote and directed There Will Be Blood, which is nominated for 8 Oscars.